Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. A Sandman fic written by Moorish Flower and read by Sylvain. Hob teaches literature. His preference is British lit, of course, but he's a dab hand at American and French, and a little bit of Italian poetry besides. He likes the intersection of history and art, likes how you can follow subtle trends of society through the ardent declarations of Mr. Darcy to Elizabeth, the political upheaval of Italy in Dante's Hell, a scathing indictment of upper-class Moors in Lord of the Flies. He likes his students. Kids are so smart these days, connected to a vast web of knowledge accessible with a click of a button, the tap of a fingertip. Your average 10-year-old knows more in 2022 than Hob did when he was 107. Most of his students are between 18 and 20, so he has to work hard to keep up with them. He likes that he's gained a reputation for being the cool teacher, for being someone that his students trust with their problems, and not just someone that they learn from. He's mentored students who wanted to go into teaching themselves, talked for long hours into the afternoon with kids overwhelmed with life and choices. He's even sat a few of his very favourite students down to have talks with them. Talks about their home lives, and about their significant others, and that it's all right to date men, or women, or both, or neither, but it sure as hell isn't all right to let them hit you, not even a little, not even once. He keeps long office hours, because sometimes the kids want to debate him, and sometimes they have personal things they want to discuss, and more than once Hob has pulled out his little electric kettle and made some strong tea for all involved. More than once he's turned on the white noise machine by the door to max volume and let someone cry themselves hoarse, because Hob knows the enormity of grief. It can't be contained in a human body. It's got to let itself out sooner or later. And he'd rather it happen in his office with him keeping an eye on things than, say, as an extremely messy breakdown in a public park. Not that he has personal experience with that sort of thing. It's a Tuesday, and it's 3 o'clock, which means Hob is finishing up his last class of the day, a unit on Kit Marlowe in Tamburlaine, and there are a few students hovering near his desk, waiting to accompany him for office hours. He recognises Sophia, who mostly shows up for the sake of debating minutiae with him, but there's also a young man accompanying her this time round. He's long and lean as a reed, the hunched posture of a man who has suddenly gained 6 or 7 inches in height, and isn't quite sure what to do with it yet. Hob thinks his name might be Ethan, but he isn't sure. Well, if Ethan wants to debate Sophia instead of him, he'll happily sit back and watch. He shoulders his messenger bag and nods genially at them. All right, chums, shall we? Sophia demands debate as soon as they're out of the classroom, keeping easy pace with him while Ethan trails a bit behind, saying nothing. Hob keeps glancing back, just to see if the lad is still there. He seems uncomfortable but determined, which usually means the student in question wants to talk about grade adjustments. Well, he'll have to get in line. Sophia is getting herself well and truly ramped up about the burning of the Quran in Tamburlaine, and doesn't seem inclined to stop any time soon. Hob makes appropriate noises at appropriate intervals, wanting to save the real debate for the relative safety of his office, where he can let Sophia sit down with a cup of tea and talk seriously with her about faith and art. She isn't deterred, and yes, Ethan is still following behind them, all the way to his corner office. Hob digs through his bag for his keys, grumbling until he finds them and gets the door open. Dream is lying on his desk. Hob closes the door. Sophia has stopped talking, her mouth slightly open. Ethan's cheeks are a bright cherry red. Hob tries opening the door again, just to make sure he wasn't hallucinating. Nope, Dream is still lying on his desk, but now his head is turned to the side, his eyes half-lidded and smouldering. He's wearing some of his usual kit, black tee with an indecently deep V-neck, black skinny jeans, black boots, but he's also wearing a long black coat that Hob thinks is analogous to the cloak he wears in The Dreaming. It's spread out across Hob's desk like a pair of huge wings. There are several papers and books that have been pushed carelessly onto the floor. Hob, Dream says. His voice is smooth, purring, liquid sex. Hob swallows against a suddenly dry throat and says, "One moment, Dove," and shuts the door again. He takes a deep, fortifying breath. Sophia and Ethan are staring at him. "Right," he says. "I am so sorry. My husband was raised by wolves. Office hours are cancelled for today. Sophia, I'd like to send you a list of books about humanism. I think some context for the anti-religion stance in Tamburlaine will give you some things to think about. And Ethan, right?" Ethan's face has become progressively more red. Hob says, and doesn't get much more than that out before the young man is speed-walking away. Sophia rolls her eyes. "Don't worry about him," she says. She keeps trying to subtly crane her neck to see through the narrow window alongside the door, so Hob shuffles to the left. He didn't know you were married. I didn't know you were married. So, how long have you been married, Professor Gadolin? It hasn't been relevant, and I'm happy to say that it still isn't. Off you go, busybody. I've got to give my husband a talking to. Sophia twiddles her fingers at him as she leaves, cheeky little bird, and Hob, left alone at last, sighs and turns to face his fate. Dream is still lying on his desk when Hob opens the door, and he holds it open just wide enough to slip in and then quickly shoves it shut behind him. Dream's gaze is no longer focused on him, but instead is cast towards the ceiling, eyes closed, his head tilted back to expose the long, white column of his throat. He has his shirt rocked up around his nipples and is idly stroking one, rolling and pinching until it's pink and tight between his fingertips. "Jesus fucking Christ," Hob says, and proceeds to break some sort of record with how fast he gets the blinds on that bloody window shut. "That boy." Dream's eyes open to slits, his other hand skating down his belly to tuck his long artist's fingers underneath the band of his jeans. He is not likely to be wearing anything beneath them, Hob knows from experience, and he promptly drops his messenger bag and boots it out of the way. "Wants you." Hob's willing to admit that his higher faculties aren't precisely firing on all cylinders, as he's doing his damnedest to get his suddenly unnecessary clothes off as quickly as possible. He flings his jacket gamely towards the coat rack and doesn't much care where it actually ends up, and, as an afterthought, turns on the white noise machine sat by the door. This might be a long afternoon.
"I could hear his daydreams as soon as he came near you. He fantasizes about propositioning you in this room."
There's a lot to unpack from that, and Hob thinks he'll need to have a serious talk with Ethan later, but Dream has just popped the buttons off his jeans and is in the process of drawing down the zipper, slowly revealing a perfect thatch of dark hair. So, later. He picks his way around papers that have fluttered from his desk, one of those dandelion and resin baubles that was a gift from Professor Belovonis before she retired, the complete plays of Marlowe lying partially open, and comes to a stop at the foot of his desk. Dream is smirking faintly up at the ceiling, a great tit, and Hob puts his hands on the skinny knees in their equally skinny jeans.
"So you figured you'd proposition me first?"
Dream curls his fingers, gripping the base of his prick inside his jeans, just out of easy sight. Hob's mouth floods with saliva.
"I was in the area."
Hob doesn't have the time nor the inclination to call out that bullshit, but something in his expression must reveal his skepticism, because Dream looks askance and adds,
"And perhaps I wanted to make sure that, should he gather his courage, you will already have fond memories of this room, that he might not sway you."
Christ in heaven. Hob gets his hands around Dream's knobby hips and yanks, sending paperwork scattering everywhere, pens flying, absolute chaos, and Dream looking gratifyingly surprised so that when Hob's got him in a better position, he leans down and kisses a soft and unresisting mouth. Doesn't just kiss, ravages, nips at the pale lips until they open against his, dips in and tastes him, shadows, twilight, rain. Sucks at Dream's tongue until his husband gets with the program and kisses back, shuddering underneath Hob's weight. When Hob breaks for breath, he puts only the barest space between them, his breath warm and humid and familiar between their panting mouths.
"There is not a single being," he whispers, "in any time, on this planet, or on any other plane of existence anywhere, that could convince me to stray from you. Till death do us part is the vow, yeah? And seeing as I don't plan on dying any time soon, you're stuck with me for a long time."
Dream stretches underneath him like a giant, languorous cat, expression gone slow-eyed and slack and gentle, a sort of bewildered but rapturous pleasure. He doesn't fully understand, Hob thinks, but he tries, and Hob plans to be around forever in order to keep reminding him, so it's all right. It's perfect, in fact. "Now help me get your kit off," Hob says, and taps Dream's calf. "Let's make some fond memories, yeah?"
"Will you have me over this desk, Hob Gadling?"
"Jesus, Dream." He bends his head down, kisses the taut, pale expanse of Dream's belly, the incongruous navel that's only here in the waking, his chin brushing the dark hair at Dream's groin when he moves downward. Dream lifts his hips obligingly, lets Hob strip the jeans down his legs, pausing to get his boots just loose enough to slip them off. Dream is, as expected, not wearing anything underneath. He lies spread out on Hob's desk, his black tee up around his nipples, his great black coat spread out underneath him, bare-assed and vulnerable, and so achingly beautiful Hob could weep.
"Tell me what you want, Dove," Hob murmurs, and takes Dream's cock in hand, long and pale and thin like all the rest of him, already hard in his palm.
He gives a single dry stroke,
and Dream wraps a leg around the small of his back, toes flexing.
"Your mouth," he says imperiously. There's a mischievous glint in his eyes. "I would like you to fuck me with your tongue."
Hob groans deep in his chest, because Dream doesn't usually do this, doesn't swear or talk dirty, but he knows exactly what buttons to push to make Hob's knees feel like jelly.
"I would like to come on your face. I want you to smell like me when you leave, and everyone will know you are mine. And then I would like to come again on your cock. I want to leave here with your spend still inside me."
"That's an order of events," Hob croaks. Dream's lips curl into a self-satisfied little smirk, and Hob can't be having that. He's got pride enough already, no need to inflate his ego any further, so Hob says, "Knees up, my darling." And when Dream acquiesces, he drags at his hips again, scooting him to the edge of the desk. Perfect height if Hob kneels, which he does, and even though Dream had dictated the outline of this afternoon's events, he still has that same look of pleased bemusement, like some part of him expects all of this to just disappear, like a dream.
"I fucking love seeing you like this," Hob murmurs. He's determined to cement this in Dream's memory, to convince him, as strenuously and as often as possible, that Hob wants him, wants to be with him, no matter any hardships.
"So beautiful for me. Knees up a bit more, there's a love." Dream tucks one long arm underneath his knee, pulling it up towards his chest and splaying the other leg wide as he can go. There's a high flush on his cheeks and splotching across his chest through that deep V, the king of dreams open and exposed here in a way that he isn't with anyone or anything else. Hob licks his lips.
"You've got an arse made for eating."
Dream's mouth is partly open, breathing slow and deep and even, but his eyes are fever bright, his pupils so large they almost overtake the glassy blue of his irises. He is focused with single-minded intent on Hob's hands, which rub soothing circles into the insides of his thighs. Dream is all smooth, unmarked, nearly hairless skin, not a single scar or blemish, and Hob loves putting his mouth to work on him. He's not kidding when he says Dream's got a fantastic arse. He's thin, yeah, but with his knees hiked up like this, Hob can rub the pad of his thumb over Dream's arsehole, pale pink and petal soft and as perfect as all the rest of him. Dream's breath hitches, barely audible, but Hob's ears are primed for it.
"Do you want my tongue in you, love?"
Dream's prick is achingly hard, now, ruddy and glistening at the head where it lays on his belly. Dream swallows visibly and nods. There's an element of imperiousness to it, even now.
"Let me hear you say it, please, since you were so keen to talk dirty to me earlier."
Hob knows that Dream probably pre-wrote that little spiel, probably practiced it in his head to try and get the cadence down, wanting to get it right, wanting it to be human enough. And Hob appreciates it. He really appreciates it, if the ache in his dick is anything to measure by. But he also appreciates being able to blindside Dream, even after so many years. His husband is gawping down at him, hips straining up a little bit, clamoring for friction. Hob gives his perfect little hole another rub, and Dream sighs.
"Please,"
Dream mutters, the sullenness of his voice rendered absolutely moot by how he's straining towards Hob with every exhale. Hob pushes his luck, bending down his head and licking a broad, flat stripe up the length of Dream's cock.
"Ugh," Dream grunts, and then, "Hob Gadling, if you do not put your tongue in me this instant, I am going to leave."
A hollow threat, but Hob feels like he's won this particular sparring match, and thus is more inclined to do as he's ordered. And it is an order, there's no mistaking that. Hob might have him spread out half-naked with his arsehole twitching underneath his fingers, but Dream doesn't ever stop being a king. Not for Hob, not for anybody. Sometimes it's a pain. Other times, like now, it sends a bolt of white-hot fire straight to Hob's dick, and he surreptitiously tries to pop the button of his trousers to give himself a bit more breathing room as he bends to his ordained task.
"You have," he says, hot breath against Dream's bollocks, "the most beautiful arsehole. So pink and tight for me."
He presses his thumb against Dream's perineum, rubbing in tiny circles. It means Dream is caught off guard when Hob licks him, a hot, wet slide over his clenching hole and over the soft skin of his testicles. He is nearly smooth all over, just what he's got on his head and the dark, downy hair around the base of his prick, and it's honestly a joy compared to partners he's had in the past. No need to pick hairs out of his teeth midway, and Dream is so sensitive here, his breath hitching and low, rumbling sounds of supreme delight in his chest.
"Only for you,"
Dream says, bliss in the corded lines of his neck and the flush of his cheeks. Hob swears, gets the zipper of his trousers down so he's not strangling his own cock, and helps to hold Dream's thigh up with one hand, keeping it spread so that Hob can dive back in. Christ, but he loves doing this. Loves the sound that Dream makes when he licks and sucks around the rim of his hole, the muscles going loose and relaxed, loves when he can get his tongue just the barest bit inside where it's tight and just a little bit cool. Loves that Dream tastes like a threatening thunderstorm, as well as surprisingly human sweat and musk and skin. He's got one hand free, so he wraps it around Dream's cock, little jerking motions with his fist accompanying every other jab with his tongue.
Hob.
Dream whines, twisting, body not sure if it wants closer or further away from overwhelming stimulation.
Husband, please, please.
The prick in his hand is throbbing in time with Dream's heartbeat, and fuck, but Dream must have been in here for a bit, working himself up, lying on this desk and thinking dire thoughts about how he was going to fuck Hob into faithfulness. Not that he needs to. No other creature in all of existence can compare to the straining, writhing being slowly coming apart under Hob's tongue. Hob surfaces for air, jaw aching, and sees that there's a veritable puddle of pre-cum on Dream's belly. He lets go of Dream's prick, prompting a quiet sob. Gets a mouthful of saliva, spits into his hand, his fingers, and says,
I think you said you wanted to come on my face.
His fingers replace his tongue then, spit slick and inching slow and even into Dream's body. He's soft as crushed velvet inside, as fine a fit as any glove, and Hob can feel all little holes and winkles of him where he clenches around Hob's finger.
When he scoots himself upward, as high onto his knees as he can, he's treated to the sight of Dream looking down at him like he's a sort of confounding revelation. His eyes are huge and glacial blue, his pupils wide and dark, and if Hob looks, really looks, he can see the faintest glimmer of starlight in the centre of each one.
If propriety allowed it, I would have you wear nothing but me, he says.
Hob grins, works his finger deeper into the clinging coolness of him, and seals his lips around the base of Dream's prick.
My scent, my seed, my marks upon your body.
His voice hitches, breathless and aching. Hob cranes his neck up and licks the leaking, reddened head of Dream's cock. He tastes like seawater and lightning, salt and skin.
Something to consider,
Hob agrees, curling his finger and watching with pleasure as Dream tosses his head back in a gasp, his cock jumping, smearing across Hob's lips in a wet, bitter slide.
Having a lion sometime, no responsibilities. And you can fuck me as many times as you'd like, till I smell like you inside and out.
Yes, Dream says, blissed out and heady. He's fucking himself down on Hob's finger, twisting and trying to get deeper, harder, more, so Hob tries for another and isn't surprised when it sinks easily alongside the first. Dream is limited in what he can control in the waking, but his body is power and illusion, made up of shadows and starlight, and what's more, he's a king. What he wants, he gets.
Would you like to see that, love? Me spread out on your bed after you've had me, your spunk leaking out of me?
Hob rubs his cheek against the length of Dream's cock, working his fingers in and out, curling and twisting. Dream sobs like he's been punched in the gut.
"'Cause I'd like that. I'd like that very much.'
He rubs firmly along Dream's insides, finds the little notch at last and presses, and Dream throws his head back against the desk and wails. The lights flicker once, ominously.
"'You,' he's chanting. "'You, only you, my husband, my love.'
He's so fucking close, Hob can see it in his taut neck and his restless hips, can feel it in the way his bare toes are digging into Hob's shoulder where his leg curls around him.
If you came to me with a face I have not seen, he whispers, with a voice I have never heard, I would still know you.
Dream's eyes have gone wide and dark and starry, black void flooding his irises first, and then all else, until his gaze is a glimpse into the universe. Even if centuries separated us, I would still feel you. He lets Dream's prick rest against his lips as he speaks, warm, unbearably human breath, the dainty touch of his tongue, love poetry.
Hob!
Dream's voice cracks at the end, and there's a fractional second where there is something else behind it, an echo in a vast and empty room. Then his spine curves up like a bowstring, and his hitching cries turn into a low rumble, nearly subaudible, vibrating through Hob's skin and bones. The first stripe of spunk lances across his mouth, and Hob, distracted as he is by the sight of his husband, has only just enough forethought to angle himself so that he doesn't get any in his hair.
The lights are flickering again, Hob notes distantly, but more of his attention is focused on Dream's pulsing cock, the pearly seed that's dripping from his mouth and sliding down his chin. He can feel it across his cheek, wet and cool, and he licks his lips and tastes power and ice. Dream is staring down at him, chest heaving. Hob thinks he must look like a right sight, cum all over his flushed face, but he must approve because he's still achingly hard against his pale belly. Dream reaches down and grips his other thigh, hitching it up towards his chest, and all of Hob's breath punches out of him at once.
"Come inside, husband," Dream says, voice gone rumbling and hazy, his starry void eyes glittering, and Hob doesn't need to be told twice.
He scrabbles to his feet, chucking his trousers and pants down enough to get his prick free, and he is reminded all of a sudden that he is so hard it hurts. His cock is red, throbbing when he takes it in hand, and he has to hunch over himself a bit at the sheer agonizing pleasure of it. But his majesty asked to be sent home filled with cum, and who is Hob to deny him? He spits into his hand again, just for good measure, and gives himself a single stroke, because anything more and he might just come on the spot. This is already going to last embarrassingly short, he thinks, as he nudges the head of his prick against Dream's soft, relaxed hole, the rim gone all puffy and pink where Hob had sucked and nibbled. Dream purrs, letting go of his legs so that he can wrap them around Hob's back, urging him closer. Hob sinks in and in, one long, slow slide into cool silk, and he bends over and pants, trying to steady himself. Christ, but it isn't fair that Dream just takes him, shapes his body around Hob's cock like it was always meant to be there, and Hob just has to grit his teeth and bear it. It's like dipping his toes into a cool lake on a hot day, like stepping into the ocean at midnight, like singing, like breathing. It's one protracted, easy movement, and then their pelvises nestle together like they were designed to be so, and Hob can feel little drops of cum and sweat sliding down his chin, splotching on Dream's belly. Cool hands frame his cheeks, elegant, long thumbs rubbing circles, rubbing the spunk into his skin, Jesus. And Hob looks up into Dream's eyes when he takes a shuddering breath and pulls back. It's agony, leaving behind even an inch of that clinging glove of sensation. But Dream hisses, yes. Drawn out and sibilant, Hob huffs. Not going to last long, he warns, and Dream smears the cum over his cheek thoughtfully, and then puts his hand over Hob's heart. There's a pulsing there, a ring of scar tissue that tingles sometimes when it rains, and now it lights up with sensation, agony and ecstasy. Hob feels like he might be drowning, can only see Dream's fond little smirk and the gleaming white pinpricks in the depths of his eyes.
Hard, then. His legs tighten around Hob's back. Fast. I would like to feel you still when evening comes.
Fucking hell, love. He hunches down over Dream, licks at his mouth until he opens for him, and if Dream cares that he's getting little smears of spunk across his mouth, then he doesn't mention it. Hob licks him clean regardless, sucks until Dream's bottom lip is pink and swollen and pouty, and then he grabs hold of Dream's thin hips and fucks in and in and in, the desk rattling underneath them. Dream makes a high, keening sound, and Hob doesn't give him a chance to recover, just sets a hard, quick pace that he knows is going to have him hurtling towards orgasm within minutes. He gets a hand between them, grabs Dream's prick and tries to time it right, tries to stroke up when he's fucking in, and the only thing that's keeping him from coming right this second is Dream's hands bracketed on either side of his face, the mouth that opens under his and then sinks two sharp teeth into his bottom lip. He tastes blood, bright and hot as a new penny, and it only makes him want.
"Inside me," Dream sighs, rocking into each heavy thrust.
And then he tilts his head back, a smear of red on his pale mouth, startling in the contrast. He bares his neck. Hob's mouth floods with saliva again, like a starving man, and he feels Dream's arms come around him, feels his fingers dig into the meat of his shoulder as he leans down and kisses the column of his husband's throat. When he bites down, he feels the simultaneous sting of Dream's fingernails in his back, clear through his shirt and drawing bright little pinpricks of sensation all down his spine. Dream's skin is like marble, cool and smooth, and almost impossible to break unless he wills it, but Hob's teeth sink in like he's biting into ripe fruit. He feels the skin break, but no ooze of blood, only Dream making a sound so deep and echoing it's like the collision of stars. His eyes feel hot and wet, and in his mouth he tastes winter and starlight, and a terrible, all-encompassing love. He shoves himself as close as he can, licks at the place where he's broken skin, and feels his orgasm almost like an afterthought. All of his attention is centered on the feeling in his mouth,
spreading like ice all through him, settling in his skin and his bones. He can feel Dream's clenching fingers turn into a gentle stroke down his back, his shirt plastered to him with sweat. He can feel Dream's prick wet and pulsing in his palm, a small puddle of spunk between them. He can feel his own cock jerking, the wet rush around him as he comes. He can feel all of it, but his attention is turned to where he can feel Dream, can feel himself in the edges of that little wound, already closing up beneath his mouth. Can feel where Dream is lodged, too, in the beat of his heart, carrying some part of his husband through his veins as easy as bleeding. His knees feel like jelly, and Hob has nearly no warning when they threaten to go out underneath him. Dream's arms are still around his back, and he draws Hob down to rest on top of him, the desk creaking ominously. "Mmm," Hob says eventually, and feels a rumble underneath his cheek. "Christ, you're going to be the death of me. Nearly 700 years, and the thing that finally does me in is you fucking me into a coma." "You would recover from a coma." Dream noses at his hair, nuzzling like a great overgrown panther. "And in the meantime, I would have you in the dreaming, at my side always. I see no downsides to this." "If you had to deal with me 24/7, you would murder me yourself, Dove." "Nonsense." A cool kiss is dropped upon his temple, and Hob finally feels enough strength come back to his legs that he can stand, pulling free of Dream's body with a wince. Dream doesn't seem to notice any discomfort, stretching out along the desk with fluid grace, lounging. Hob feels a rush of inescapable fondness and bends down to kiss the center of Dream's forehead. He gets a low purr in response. "Should call you Kitten instead," he says, and Dream opens his eyes, once again a clear and crystal human blue. "Come on, let's get you cleaned up. I'm a tad worried about the structural integrity of this desk. And you've got a bit of jizz on your cheek." In response, Dream pushes himself fluidly to sitting, reaches out and swipes his forefinger along Hob's chin.
"You have more than a bit."
He pops his finger into his mouth, his eyes going heavy-lidded. Hob's throat goes dry. "Spirit is willing, etc.," he thinks, as all his pleasure-fried nerves make a valiant attempt at something. He finds a box of tissues in his desk and cleans up the worst of the mess, but there's not much he can do about the neat little crescent-shaped holes in the back of his shirt, nor the fact that his whole office smells like a brothel. There's no escaping it. He thinks he's just going to have to burn the whole place down, change his name, start again. "Will you come over later?" Dream makes a face.
"Tonight, I cannot. I have promised Lucienne that I will sit down with them to review their notes during my absence."
"No rest for the wicked."
"Quite."
Dream swings his long legs over the edge of the desk, and they spend a companionable few moments in silence getting redressed, Hob ducking in to steal a kiss when Dream turns his way. The scar over his heart is still pulsing, faintly, like an electronic's hum. Dream tilts his head.
"Tomorrow, however," he says,
and Hob's pulse quickens and thunders in his ears. Dream leans down, and this time he's the one to beg a kiss. For a moment, his mouth seems almost warm. "Tomorrow," Hob agrees, and feels such an immense fondness overtake him that he almost can't breathe. He cups a hand against Dream's cheek, lets the kiss deepen, breathing into the cool body like he can steal inside and heat him from the inside out. He never will be able to, but, feeling Dream's mouth pliant and gentle against his, and the throb of Dream in his chest, and the sense of himself lodged in Dream and somewhere, far distant, in the dreaming, well, he supposes that he doesn't really need to. The end.